johnsyndicate.com. Call 1-888-201-4201. That's 1-888-201-4201. Direct from the Vegas Strip. Are you looking to access the most powerful betting syndicate information directly from the Vegas wise guys? The same games that players walk into the casinos and move 5, 10, 20 dimes a game on week in and week out. Learn the secrets of the most powerful betting sources directly from our office to your ears. All you have to do to walk with that air of confidence is pick up the phone and don't stall. Make the call. Call 1-888-201-4201. That's 1-888-201-4201. Call now. Call free for your access password at johnsyndicate.com. That's www.johnsyndicate.com. Call now. Call free. We are back with another edition of Sports Insider Radio, Masters Week. And what do you think about Masters Week since you're the big golfer extraordinaire? Is Tiger going to win it, Costi?
No, I don't think Tiger. It's this. He's not there yet. I don't know if he'll ever be back to what he was, but it's what's happening is he might have an opportunity early on in the first couple rounds to be on top of the leaderboard, but his body breaks down to have to walk 18 holes 4 days in a row and have his body, you know, work the entire time and not be tired. It hasn't happened yet. Especially they're calling for rain tomorrow and it's going to be cold. That doesn't, you know, play well for him as well. I don't know. I don't think it's, unfortunately, I think we've seen the best of Tiger in that catastrophic, you know, crazy accident.
What year was it? What year was it? We were sitting here. It was like plus 1200 and he came back and won.
I think he won crazy.
That was when the guy drove from the Midwest and put his life savings on Tiger and won like $1 million.
Remember.
Something crazy.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, because he did it like mid-round, right?
Right.
Yeah, 2019 is the last time he won it. But the guy didn't do it before it started. I think he did it mid-round. Like maybe like Friday he drove down for Saturday and he saw how he was playing the first 2 days. Because he was behind and he came back and won. So I don't know, man. It's this is my favorite. I used to never really watch golf before I played it. And we talk about it too. A lot of our community on the live shows that we do on YouTube, and a lot of people are just not into it. Unless you're a golf purist, people don't watch golf. And I was that guy before COVID. I didn't know what golf was because I never played it. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started playing and now I enjoy watching. It's peaceful to watch because you're not as involved, you know, if it's a first down in the NFL, everybody's like completely dialed into the game, start to finish, if you're a fan. But for golf, it's like very laid back and they follow different guys. And it's just a constant rotation of guys playing different holes on the course, different day. So it's cool. It's a 4 day tournament. So it's unlike any other sport to watch. You know, usually a game ends in 4 hours, baseball, 3 hours, even tennis. But golf, you have a whole weekend where they could advance. So it's cool, especially Masters. I mean, I would say for the casual fan, everybody happens to watch the Masters. It's on TV. It's on coverage the entire week. So it's people get into it for the Masters. But
well, and the ratings. Itself, but let's I mean, call a spade a spade. The ratings are going to be 10 times the amount just if Tiger's playing versus if he's not playing.
Always. Yeah.
So you'll have people that'll watch just to watch Tiger.
They'll just watch to watch Tiger. Yep.
I mean, he's not that old. I think he's younger than me.
Well, it's the injury, man. He had the horrible car accident that messed up his leg. He had so many surgeries on that ankle. And the leg, I mean, he shattered the entire bone in the leg. So, like, you could see him walking around with a limp still years later. And I don't know if and look, he's got the best medical attention out of anyone out there, and he still can't completely be walking normal. So, you know, I don't know. I don't speculate him winning, but if he does win, I'd be really happy for him. I mean, I'm a huge Tiger fan. Always have been, even before I started playing the game. Now, so even more. So it's cool. I mean, I love Masters Week. Just the whole.
Who's the favorite to win? I haven't even looked. Who's the favorite?
So we have the shortest favorite to win since Tiger. When Tiger was in his heyday, Scottie Scheffler's got the shortest odds to win the Masters, but it usually is never the favorite. It hasn't been that way in a very long time. It's very hard for, because there's a good 10 guys on the top of the leaderboard in the world rankings that could win it, but then there's always that one-off guy that comes through and wins his, you know, one Masters ever, you know, and he might not ever win another one again. So if golf is unique like that, you don't know who's playing their best leading up to it, and you also don't know who's playing their best literally after their practice rounds yesterday and today. So that's how unique the sport is. Same way when I play it, when I get up there in the morning, I feel different. My body feels different. I happen to have a comfortable swing that day, and I shoot well. And then some days I think I've been playing well for a week, and I go out there and I play absolutely horrible. It's similar to, like, the best comparison, obviously, it's like baseball. You don't see guys hit home runs every single day. You don't see guys, even the best of them, every single day get on base. There's certain days where their swing feels off and they're not hitting the ball well. But with baseball, the reason why you're seeing these guys so efficient, because they play almost every day. There's no, like, it's not like football where if baseball players played once a week, they would be horrible because their rhythm is off. So the fact that they play every day, and remember we talked about this back in October, the teams that had the layoff, that had the bye, got smoked in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Orioles got smoked. You know, and that's what happens when you have a bye. It throws off your rhythm. And they've been talking about this in baseball. Is it a benefactor to have that bye? Because it, from a short sample size, it hasn't been. It's been a negative. The teams that are having the layoff don't win. And look at the Rangers last year. The Rangers came in through a playing game in the wild card, won. Then they won against the Orioles, and then they just kept playing. They never stopped playing, and they got hot at the right time. So in baseball, you know, it's been only a small sample size the last couple of years when they've changed it to this format where there's actually teams that get buys. But so far, it's proven it's actually been a negative, not a positive.
So let's talk about your success with Sharp Trading, and let's talk about basketball and baseball, and what have you been doing? Because I know you're running some basketball and some baseball. I know you had a little rough stretch in the road on basketball last week, and then you bounced back.
Yeah, NBA, man, NBA was really hard. It's this late in the season. I was talking to my group that I consult with every single morning before we actually put out the selections, and usually when you're getting into April, when you have that end of March, beginning of April, before the playoffs, there's a lot of roster manipulation. There's teams that seedings can advance and can get better, but you don't know if they're really playing that hard, because at the end of the day, they want to be healthy. Because these playoffs, the NBA playoffs are so long. I mean, they start in a week. So you're talking about, you're still getting April, May, and then in June, they have the finals. So if you're a team that expects to go far, I mean, you're going to be playing a lot of basketball over the next 2 months. So a lot of teams simply don't care. Some teams do care. So you have to, and then there's what's been happening is the roster manipulation is they people sit out just for rest late, you know, without notice. And it's not like the NFL where you can get an injury report that you could get a real pulse of who's going to play and who's not going to play because they're obligated to give you an injury report in the NFL after Friday. So now in the NBA, you know, they play last night, they're a back end of a back-to-back, and they don't give you an update on who's playing, who's not, and they sit last minute. Like last night, we had one of the losses we had was the Suns that I gave out on a free release, actually, on the YouTube show. I actually didn't put it on my sheet because the line moved drastically, and I didn't feel like there was an advantage laying 7.5 where the opening line was 3.5, so I didn't actually bet the game. But what happened was it went to 7.5. The Suns actually lost outright, and that's because on the other side, Kawhi Leonard was out. Well, on the game that we actually did bet, which was the Lakers game, we had the Lakers at laying 3 at home. The Lakers can still advance and get out of the play-in game altogether. So this way, they're already locked into a series. They don't have to play a one-off game. And, of course, midway through the day, I think at like 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, the line moved to Lakers plus 3 because Anthony Davis decided to sit out. So the Lakers lost outright, and we lost the bet. So it's going to happen from time to time, but usually our big wagers that we put on the board, like our big wagers, have no injury concerns for the evening because we try to get away from that questionable game because a lot of them are questionable with no matter how much you like the side and you have an edge on the price of the game. Certain guys are going to sit out late because of roster manipulation. You don't want to put a lot of emphasis in that. So the Lakers were not a big bet. We ended up still making money on the day because our big play, the Thunder, came through. So we're going to have that from time to time. The NBA's
walked. Let me ask you something. How's the Suns only scored 10 points in 12 minutes?
I don't know. Guess they weren't making buckets.
I was talking to a client earlier today. I mean, did you look at the box score of the Oak City game yesterday?
I did not.
Yeah, so like, you know, it's amazing to me. I think like I always tell people, watching these games is really a waste of time unless you're live betting them. And we can talk about the live betting in a second because we're adding that to the portfolio. It's something I've been hesitant to do. If you look at the box score, you'll see Oak City only scored 17 points in the second quarter. And they were down by, I think, they were down like 17, 18 points at halftime. And then they just come rolling back in the second half and rolling in the fourth quarter and win and cover.
No, they weren't like, down 17 points.
No?
They're down 10. Mm-mm.
Okay, 10.
Down 10
but my
points.
Point is, you see these teams, they it's like you.
Yeah, but it's the NBA.
A lot of people.
So that if you're not a watcher, so you don't know, but you're just a middleman to all these groups. So,
right.
The NBA, you're always going to have crazy runs, unlike college, because in the NBA, these guys sit a good portion of the game. It's a longer game. And they have backups play all the time. In college, most of the starters will play 80 to 90% of the game. So you're not seeing that. Like, if a team is really down in college, unless it's a crappy team, the good teams usually don't blow.
Brett just texted me. He said, Tel Costi is incorrect. Oak City was down 19 at the half. Oak City was down 19 at the half yesterday, and they won the game 112 to 105. So it's like these teams just die in the first half. And if you're somebody – and I'm not saying you should always bet the favorite in the second half because I'm not a big believer in that. If anything, we know that this wise guy's pressed the dogs in the second half. It just – I almost wonder if it's like –
I was looking at the wrong game. That's my apology. I was looking at the wrong game.
Okay. But, you know, like he said – we had a couple different groups and they were all on Oak City. And you know, if you're somebody that's a newbie and you're going to follow the score in real time, you're going to panic. Like, you know, if you, especially if you're one of these, you know, crazy bettors that thinks he's going to win every game and you're down 19 and it's like,
here's the thing in the NBA,
turn it on in the second half.
Don't, if you're going to watch the NBA, this is a great rule of thumb and stick to it. Watch the fourth quarter. That's it. Fourth quarter, you have value. Anything up to the, I've seen teams up 30 and they lose the game outright because the NBA, there's a lot of guys that sit for portions of the game, especially in the, you know, the 5-6 minutes in the third quarter. Usually teams make runs in those periods. Same thing with the second quarter. I mean, they don't, they realize they, doesn't matter the, especially at home, being down 30 or being down 20. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. And it's just how the NBA goes, man. It's all situational. Oklahoma City has been a ATM this year. For if you would have bet them, now granted, the second half of the season, they've given a lot of it back. They're 42-36 against the spread entering last night. I'll take that all day against the spread. So you're, and they're at home, they're 29-8. So they've been a ATM at home conclusively. And then overall, I mean, they've been one of the best covering teams outside of the Magic in the NBA this year.
Don't lay 12 with the Hawks. That's all I'm saying. I said it last week and I'm saying it again. How can anybody lay that any double digits with the Hawks?
I'm not touching the Hawks with a 10-foot pole. They're ass.
I gave it out for free. That was my complimentary selection on YouTube on the Pick Dogs channel today, was to fade the Hawks just because, again, their worst team at ATS. I don't care who they're playing. You know, I don't care. You just fade them.
They suck.
And you're going to fade. And Lane,
I know it's Wednesday, like, and there's this like little, there's this little theory and this little bit that we talk about on the show.
Go ahead.
That on Wednesdays,
what is it? Let me hear.
The Hawks have a good record. On Wednesdays, the Hawks have a good record against the spread.
You better not mention that to Big Al. He'll cut your tongue out of your mouth.
No. But I'm saying the last like 3 or 4 Wednesdays they've played, they've lost. So I don't believe in it. It's just more of a running joke. I wouldn't bet the Hawks with your money. Okay? They are absolutely atrocious. They're 21-19 at home, but they're 15-25 against the number. How could you, like you said, how could you lay 12 points with them? No sense. Not touching that.
I don't get it.
A lot better games.
Well, the line makers, they like to suck people. The line makers like to suck people in because they just figure, oh, they're 12.
I mean, they had, listen, at the end of the day, the line is where it's supposed to be, because they have been, you know, in a sense, in their last 10 games, they are 6-4, and they're 5-5 against a number. And then you're talking about, you know, Charlotte, that's 2-8. But listen, Charlotte's still 5-5 against the spread in that 2-8. So they're getting inflated numbers because of how bad they are. So they're, 12 points is a lot of points in the NBA, and I wouldn't bet that with the Hawks, period. I just would rather just not touch that game than bet it.
So tell me about your baseball betting. I see you've been doing a lot of totals.
Yeah, man, we're crushing it right now. I mean, overall, we started baseball not 2 weeks ago. We actually started it a little over a month ago. We had spring training. We did a little bit of college baseball early in the season where the line makers were off, and we're off to a really good start. I mean, overall, we're not going to have exceptional weeks because a majority of our bets are in the dog side. So we're expecting to lose 40-45%, if not more, of our games, not totals, of our games. So because you're not laying a huge money line on the favorite, it's going to burn you from time to time. And you're going to lose games because you're always constantly grabbing a dog, or an even money bet or a reduced juice bet. Like, you know, so if you could find value on the dog side consistently, you're going to make money. I mean, the only game we lost yesterday was the Rockies. We had them +160. They lost by a run at home. I'll take that all day. That loss is fully acceptable because more times than not, if I keep cashing on that +160 and I'm 50% at the end of the year with high volume, that plus one, that extra 60 cents and never paying juice on the losses, that is a huge difference between winning and losing a lot of money.
I'm listening.
Yeah. I mean, that's the gist of it.
And as I keep saying with baseball, 40% of the time, the dogs win straight up. Currently, right now, dogs straight up. Now, this is some interesting stuff I broke down on my YouTube channel over at Pick Dogs. Dogs are 70-97, which is 41.9%. So if you've been betting exclusively favorites, obviously you're getting killed, as you should be. But what's interesting, and this is the wildest, I've never seen this split. Home dogs just can't win in baseball. It is literally a road dog show only, early. Now, we can forget about you saying small sample size because you like to say that every week. I'm just giving you the past data. Right now, it is amazing. 18 home dogs have won outright this season. 33%. 18-36 straight up on the home dogs. Like zero home team edge whatsoever. So where's all the money on the dog side? It's on the road dogs. The road dogs are 52-61. 46%. So you go from the dogs have been winning 42% of the time. If you just eliminate the home team dogs and you just played the road dogs, you just increase your percentage 4 percentage points from 42% to 46%. You would think these home favorites would have an edge, but what it's proving is that literally the home favorites don't have an edge. The home dogs don't have an edge. Nobody at home has an edge. So I want to get back to why you think that. Because, again, forget small. I don't want to hear the small sample size stuff. I'm talking about from a fanfare point of view. We live in a state that, you know, football is a religion, but baseball is really a religion, like hardcore Oriole fans, right? Even in the years that they were losing. You would think that there would be an edge. My personal opinion is, unless the game is close in the end of the game, nobody really is involved. You know, you do a little wave, you do a little thing. You know, it's like there's not that excitement that the home team is feeding off the crowd. Don't you, like, are you with me on that? Because like literally,
no, I don't think it matters. You got to remember, it's when teams play at home. The reason why there always will be an edge is because they know exactly which part of the park to hit the ball. They're comfortable with knowing if they need a home run, they're going to be aiming to hit it to this side of the field, to that side of the field. I mean, there is an edge there, and it does help you when you have an opposing pitcher that makes it loud for them. So, I mean, it does. There is an edge to the home side, just not to the dog side right now. Again, I am going to say it. I say it every week. It is a small sample size. I can't.
But what I'm saying is what's been proven so far this season is that there's been zero edge to the home team.
I mean, these teams just started playing. They play 162 games.
I get it. So I get it.
You can't just say that.
You can't.
I mean, I can't buy into it. To me, I can't look at a metric like that and have any sort of substance.
For instance, what would be the best bet today based on these? What I'm saying, what would be the best bet today based on those stats? So the best bet today would be the Nationals plus 200 at the Giants at 345 East. Because again, what I'm saying to you is that it's good to look at the short-term data, especially if you don't have access to information. Look, if you're a subscriber, it doesn't matter. Like I was talking to Brett, our betting bot is just destroying it in the dogs. For all you guys listening, just killing it on the dogs and taking care of business. But the whole thing is, what you have to understand is that the average person will think Colorado Rockies at home plus 20 cents they have an edge because they're at home. Yes, they might on that individual game, but it's good to look at the short-term data and look at St. Louis is a home team dog today. The Rockies are a home team dog today. The Twins are a home team dog today. There's quite a few home team dogs today on Wednesday. Angels are a home team dog. So when you look at these scenarios, what you say is Royals are a home team dog. Royals are also on a 5-game winning streak. So you obviously have a scenario where the Royals are a perfect example, where the public is going to be all over Kansas City because they're going to look at the short. You know, you say small sample size, but the flip side is there is some a lot of trend betting goes on in baseball. Kansas City 7-3 in their last 10. They're on a 5-0 win streak. They're 7-4 overall, and they're getting money against Houston. And so, of course, Houston's 4-8 straight up. They're 4-6 their last 10. From a value point of view, you can't always say it's a small sample size, because if you're a guy that can't afford to be a subscriber and you're trying to be on the right side and the sharp side, you want to use some of these tips and the tricks. And that's why I diminish that whole small sample size crap, because we could just wait till the end of the season and have a whole baseball season and recap. There are in football, there's not really trends because they play once a week. In NBA, you have many trends, but in this sport, where bats get hot and bats get cold and teams streak in every direction, you got to look at short term. You got to look at the fact that Kansas City's 5-0. You got to look that the Yankees are 4-0. You got to look that Oakland's won 3 in a row. Washington has won 3 in a row. Those are your winning streaks right now. And then, like I always talk about, streaks getting long in the tooth. It's very hard to win. Once you get to about game 7 of a losing streak or a winning streak, when you say short-term sample size, you know, one of the tips and tricks, if you don't have access to information, to start fading those streaks. I mean, very rarely, forever, do teams win 10 games in a row in baseball or lose 10 games in a row. Now, I will say it's easier to lose 10 games in a row than it is to win 10 games in a row, even though statistically a mathematician would say it's binary, it's actually the same. But from a trend betting point of view, what you want to do is you want to start fading teams on win streaks, because it's much harder to hit. So, like, I start looking, where can I get value on Kansas City? Where can I get value on the Yankees? Where can I get value on Oakland? Where can I get value on Washington? And again, you should be cognizant of that if you're somebody that's trying to, like, again, on your Pick Dogs platform, you're giving out all this information for free. Of course, we could always use the excuse of small sample size, but at the same note, some guy's waking up, he's making, you know, he doesn't have a lot of money, he's trying to get involved in the wagering game, and you're trying to give him tips and tricks. So that's one of the things I like to do. You know, because you know, and I know, for baseball especially, we can both agree there is a true streak scenario in baseball that doesn't exist in any other sport because of how many games there are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's – listen, this, the reason why
you're talking about Oakland – look, the White Sox, they were trying to lose 10 games in a row. They were 1-10. Boom, they win yesterday, right? So if you like, I had a guy, he's like, I followed your advice, and he just faded the White Sox. He took the White Sox because they were going for their 10th straight. Now they're 2-8 in the last 10. What is it? Miami. Miami is 1-11. 1-11 this season. 1-9 in the last 10. This is when you start looking at Bet Miami. Now, again, the winning the 10 is harder than the losing the 10. So I'm not saying Miami can't lose 15 games in a row. But if you get big dog prices on Miami, so now look at this setup here. You have the Yankees have won 3 games in a row. Miami's basically lost 10 games in a row. Everybody and their mother is going to be betting the Yankees. You have access to no information. Boom, you take Miami. Because unlike these stupid Martingale betting systems, this ABC crap, where they play chalk favorites and they double down, you can just destroy your bankroll. You can't destroy your bankroll when you're betting dogs that are on losing streaks. Because the worst team is still going to lose – is still going to win 30% of the time. So the worst team at the end of the season that's 0-10 in the last 10 is still basically going to be 3-10 in their last 10. 3-10 at their last 10, getting dog money. If you can pick and choose your spots, you can make more money betting on Miami this season than you will on the Yankees. Sounds counterintuitive, but that's the reality that nobody wants to hear. I also, like I said with you the other day, you hit the Dodgers with the run line from your groups that give it to you. But, you know, still the worst bet in all of baseball. The 1.5 bet for all you guys that are listening is literally the worst bet, beside betting favorites like a $200 favorite on the Yankees in all of baseball. They just don't win. What it's crazy is when you look at it and you look at the against the spread record, 38 times has a 1.5. So think about this, Costi. You lay 1.5 on a game. You are 31%. That means the favorite that was laying 1.5, 38 times. So, you know, not you can't decide who's laying 1.5. The line makers decide who's the plus 1.5. Yes, you could do alternate run lines, but for all intents and purposes, you can't decide who's laying 1.5, right? So we're in agreement on that? So
yes.
Right now this season, 119 times a favorite was minus 1.5. That means that was the posted betting number. 119, 38 of those 119 won by 2 or more. That's it. 31%. It is literally, you lay 1.5, you're going to go 3-7 every time. So people ask me, what's the best bet? I had it on my Underdog channel the other day. The best bet is plus 1.5. Now, win-loss wise, the plus 1.5 wins 70% of the time. It's 69.1%. It's hard to believe because remember, it's the binary of the 119. You're 81-38 plus 1.5. But you're actually down money if you bet them all, because if the plus 1.5 is minus odds, you're a loser. So what are you looking for? You're looking for the plus 1.5 plus money. And the only way you get that is on large underdogs. So you want to be cognizant of the fact that if you're someone out there and you just want to bet and you don't want to pay for any information, and I always say betting dogs is the easiest way to maintain a break even or a small scalp percentage. The easiest way, if you really want to do it, is you got to look for a plus 1.5 plus money. And they don't happen a lot. So you're going to have very low volume because the team needs to be a high enough underdog that even when they're getting 1.5, they're still a dog. And so, like, for instance, today, you know how many of them exist, Costi? Zero. There's one game really? That almost hits the... Yeah, there's zero plus 1.5 plus monies. So the closest, the shortest line is there's two teams. Miami's plus 1.5 minus 110. They're not plus money, so it's a no bet. So in that instance, you still take Miami straight up. You wouldn't take the plus 1.5. The Dodgers-Minnesota game, Minnesota is plus 1.5 minus 115. Now, let's say it was plus 1.5. Like the other day, I had a game. It was plus whatever it was, and then it was plus 1.5 plus 130. Now, if you can get the plus, you just bet it all day long. You bet it all day long. But the problem is they don't give you the opportunity to get those lines. They are so infrequent. You're looking at the entire board today. There's not one plus 1.5 plus money. So people are greedy and they say, oh, well, I can lay 1.5 and get plus money. Yeah, it's the worst bet in all of baseball. So yes, you can lay, instead of 160 on the Braves today, you can lay 1.5 plus 120. Bad bet. Check this out. Toronto, minus 1.5 plus 179. Bad bet. Doesn't mean it won't win. Bad bet. So what they do is they try to entice the public. Red Sox, -1.5, plus 170. So what happens is people that don't know any better are just looking at those dog odds, and they're trying to maximize their profit because people are addicted to parlays and getting, you know, betting a little and getting a lot. And again, with 20 minutes left in the show, we can get into that. Where have I been killing it, and what am I? I just originally launched for a couple of high roller clients our live betting channel. So what do you think of that? You see now that we're getting it. You know, it's something I've been very hesitant to release to people because it has to be the person that has the lifestyle that can make moves within seconds, and just not everybody can do that.
Right. It's very unique. It's a niche that, listen, we've always,
and you have to bet at a place that you're not going to get limited and cut off.
Right.
You also don't want to ruin your account.
Right.
I mean, the biggest issue for me is not the winning or the losing of the live betting. It's profitable and it makes a lot of money, which is why the sports books hate it and cut you off. So like for anybody listening, if you're wagering at a legal sports book, you have that live betting option. You're playing with fire, getting limited. So you got to have the right, you got to have the right scenario, which we can talk off air if you reach out, to be in a place where you can play where you're not going to be limited, because they'll limit you even if you're losing if they see that you're sharp. That's what people don't understand. You know, Micah and our groups, we get cut losing, never getting the opportunity to get even. I mean, you've seen it where you put a, you know, six figures into a legal sports book and you're down 40 grand and they cut you because they know that yep. over a course of time, you're going to beat them. So do you think this is something that can be expanded to the masses, or you think it's going to always be that niche 5, 10, 15, 20 people that
nah.
I'll
impossible. It's the masses can't do what we do and follow it, because it just won't work. What happens is people say they want to make money, but they don't want to put in the work. We have a lot of products where literally you don't have to do any work and you're profitable. Well, some of the products, it is work, but it's profitable as well, and it makes a lot of money. So I don't think it will ever be mainstream. It's, like I said, it's for somebody, you vet them. You make sure that they could actually handle the work. And if they can handle the work, obviously the returns are there. But I don't believe it will be like mainstream. Mm-mm.
Well, and the sports books make it impossible. If you only have a legal sports book in your state, you're basically, there's no chance of you making enough money to overcome the fees, because they're going to cut you off, win or lose.
Right.
From live betting. I mean, they're basically telling you live betting is the most beatable way to win. What people don't understand, and the clients that the few that I've brought onto the channels, what people don't understand is that the live betting is not reversion of the mean betting. Lot of people, and here's a perfect example. Yesterday, the White Sox got their second win in a row. They had a 5-0 lead early, like in the first or second inning. A non-pro live bettor would just automatically bet Cleveland to come back because the White Sox, quote-unquote, are so bad on that small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
They did come back. They tied the game 5-5, and then they lost the game by 2 runs. You can't be in the scenario where you're going to assume just because Oak City's down by 19 at half that you're going to live bet. Because what they don't do is that you can look at the odds, and if you understand and you're dealing with a syndicate that's looking at live odds, it's not only the fact that a team should come back and win, it's are you actually getting a good price? And if you're not getting a good price, there's no point making the bet even if it wins. So when Oak City's down 19, they're never going to give you what they should give you. They're never going to give you $1,100 on your money. They're going to give you $400 on your money. Because they know. They're not going to be shocked if Oak City comes back. They know. So therefore, what the true live bettor is doing is he's trying to get mispriced odds on a game where he's getting a better price than he should be. And he's taking advantage of that, not just simply reversion of the mean betting of this team's so good, they're down. It's like a horse race going around the stretch. They're going to come back and they're going to win. And I think this is the biggest mistake people do with halftime wagering. We've discussed this in the past. Most people bet reversion of the mean halftime wagering, where if you don't have access to information, you're supposed to actually take the team that's up 19 at the half. And for all I know, I'm not looking at the board. For all I know, whoever Oak City played yesterday, for all I know, the opponent that was up 19 and a half actually covered the second half number, even though they lost the game. I don't know. I didn't look. But that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to press the dog that's up at half if you're auto betting. And again, I lay generalized blankets out because I'm always talking to the person that can't afford to deal with us, right? The person that's just trying to add a little edge to their bankroll. It's my good little karma of giving back. It's not like like Dave used to say, that's square. Yeah, we know it's square, but we don't care. I don't care if it's square because the guy that's actually going to use that system, he's never going to pay me anyway. Not because he's a bad guy, not because he doesn't want to win. He just can't afford it. Not everybody can drive. What's that car our buddy just bought?
Maybach.
Not the Lambo, the other one. Yeah.
The Maybach.
260, right, 200, well, what did he pay, 260 for it?
Yeah.
How many of them you see on the street?
In Baltimore, Maryland, none. If you lived in Miami, you'd probably see a couple more. But in this town, man, in this city, in this state, I'm sure there's some, but not many. Not new ones, that's for sure.
Right. So my point is, it's the same thing with us. It's not for everybody. So, you know, I want to get away for as we do the future shows. Of course, a lot of the stuff could be if you're a pro and you're already involved in major syndicate betting. Of course, it's square, but that's not what this is about. Of course, that's why the whole I'm nixing out the whole small sample size crap, because it is crap. You got to live in today only, and if you don't have money and you're trying to be sharp and you're left to your own devices, better to get this free information where you say, you know what? Maybe I'll bet. Like right now, you do your little parlay segment, right? On your shows with Mitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always, it's square. Nobody cares.
Of course.
You're doing it anyway because okay. So I'm asking you, if you were going to do a parlay today, we'll do it right here. If you were going to do a parlay in baseball today, what's the sharpest parlay to do? It's easy. You parlay the Twins and you parlay the Miami. You do two parlays. You do Miami, Minnesota, money line. And then you do Minnesota plus 1.5 and Miami plus 1.5 run line.
Yeah, but that contradicts what you were saying, though. You said a home dogs don't win, away dogs do.
No, I'm talking about the plus 1.5. We're talking about plus 1.5.
Okay.
No, I'm just talking about value. Value. Plus.
I know, but I'm saying from a
plus
standpoint,
1.5,
if I follow your.
No, no, I'm talking.
If I follow your theory,
you're straight
and
up,
I get it. It would be away dogs. Parlay the away dogs.
Right.
Grab a Miami. You can grab a Chicago.
Or the closest to even plus 1.5. If you can't get plus
got
money,
it.
The closest
especially at home,
even
right.
plus
right.
1.5, which would be plus 1.5 minus 115, plus 1.5 minus 110. Those are your closest plus 1.5s. Because remember, the best bet in baseball is plus 1.5. The absolute trashiest, worst bet in baseball that only wins 30, not 33. 30% of the time is minus 1.5, regardless of whoever the team is. Teams historically don't win by more than one run. That's what people are. You look at 119 games, 89 of them were one-run games.
That's a lot, yeah.
Now, the question is it because of the pitching clock? The question is, and now we got 10 minutes left. I don't know if you saw Kenny White posted on Twitter. They're doing some research about how there's increased injuries with the pitching clock, not giving the pitchers enough time. What's your take on that?
I really don't have a take. I haven't done a deep dive into that. Just been so busy with everything else. Not even on my radar. Honestly, don't really care that much about it. As long as my baseball games are cashing, I don't really care too much about the injury side of it. That they'll have to figure that out on their own. And certain people care about that, and it's something they want to talk about. And it's, I'm sure it is a big issue. It's just not for me. Don't care. I'm here to make money. So injuries are going to happen. If it has more injuries, that's for the MLB to figure out. And that's what they're here for, to do, is to track metrics on that. For me, as long as my tickets are cashing, I don't care what really happens on the field.
What about anything you want to talk about? We got 9 minutes left regarding the clients that you're dealing with, the objections, the interest, you want to try to educate the people?
I don't really get into it as much, the negativity part of it. There's a lot of people that claim to bet big. They just don't have the bankroll to back it up. That's the biggest issue that I face. So a lot of people contact us direct from YouTube.
Well, they do. They do bet big. They do bet big. They're just betting all their money on one game.
Well, they do that, or they're betting 50% or 30%. Yeah, they bet big, but then there's no strategy whatsoever with their bankroll. They might have some kind of strategy that they're betting with in their mind, but there's no strategy with their money. Like, there's no understanding of a percentage-based money management system that we have literally for every single strategy that we do. And every strategy actually has a different system. But we're not – at no point am I risking 25% on one game. In a perfect world, our most ideal client, if he's got a bankroll, we're trying, if he has access to all our different models, he's risking 70, 80, 90% of his bankroll on any given day between 30, 40 games. Not one game that's going to get him rich and flip his money real quick. There's no such thing. What we do historically works, but it's very boring. There's a lot of small wagers. We don't have crazy parlays. We don't have crazy teasers, exotics. I mean, you now have opened the door for, a limited bunch of clients that could actually get access to your live bets, which we'd never really done in the past, but it's very effective. But you vet the client, before. It's not something that introductory, when you talk to a new person, that you say, you could do live betting. Absolutely not. You have to make sure that the client can handle variance, that he's a grown up, that he understands volatility, all that stuff. And if he can, then you could talk about it. But I'd say for 90% of the guys that I talk to, it's all the same. It's the same typical response. I have $2,000 to bet on tonight's game, but I only have a $5,000 total.
So what happened this morning? Let's talk about that. It's not negative, but let's not negative, but somebody reached out to Mitch and said he bets $2,000 a game. He was looking at a hookup, and then you called him this morning, and he was already broke by the time you called him.
Yeah, I don't know what he bet this morning, but he already lost that $2,000 by 10 a.m. I have no idea where internationally he was. He could have been, for all I know, he was either doing cricket or ping pong, would be my guess. That's my only guess. You know what? I didn't even get into it. I didn't ask. I just simply said, unfortunately, it's not for you. We're not in the business of making poor people rich. We're in the business of making wealthy people wealthier. And it sounds to me like you're trying to be, I didn't say this mean by any, I even prefaced it by saying, I'm not trying to be rude when I say this, but want to make you, which seems to me like you're a little broken, destitute at the moment, and turn you into a six-figure earner. It's not how this works. He got a little offended. He said, well, yeah, but next month, I'm like, but that's the point. There is no next month with people that have money. People have money, always have it. They just choose to maximize their returns with the money that they already have. And, you know, but it's not for him. Not for him. And that's okay. That's just okay.
Well, you handle these guys much nicer than you used to. That's for sure. Not that you were ever mean, but you were just.
I was. I would say I was more irritated.
Like I said, I always tell people is that, you know, I guess it's like our friend that just paid $260,000 for a Maybach. It's like you do it because you can, and you do or you don't. And like I said, when I talk to someone, it usually takes me about 4 minutes to know if I have a potential client that I want to work with, not they want to work with it. That's the flip in my script. It's like I'm more particular about who I want to work with. Like I talked to a guy yesterday, and no, I'm not going to even name the geographic area because he's listening, and I don't want to work with the guy. Nothing personal, nice guy, but you know, he said something to me in the middle of the conversation that I just couldn't handle, which was, well, you can definitely double my money in the next 30 days, right? Like once he said that, I knew I was talking to myself. Double your money in the next 30 days? What? Like that's not the world I'm living in, guy. We're living in the long term. You know, the minute somebody thinks they're going to do the whole double your money and then da da da, there's enough guys on the internet that can promote that stuff. It's just not the world that I want to live in. I was like, I don't really think this is for you. This is boring. This is long term. This is like the way I cycle, which is I'm an endurance cyclist. You know, I don't get on the bike for 5 miles. I get on the bike for 100 miles. Takes me 7 hours, not 7 minutes. It's like I want that type of guy, and I want that guy to be all in, knowing that if he's inquiring, especially about baseball, don't talk to me about the results till Halloween. So that's my, I mean, you know this. I talk to 10 guys a day and I tell 8 guys it's not for them.
Yep.
And then I just
maybe more
tell them that, you know, I just tell them there's other, you know, other things that you should concentrate on. This is not for you. Because if you're working from a position of stress where you need to win, in order to like change your life, then it's the last thing you should actually be doing, whether that would be in the crypto markets, whether that would be in the stock market, whether that would be in the betting markets, because in the end, they're all markets. And, you know, I did that video on PickDog, sports trading versus sports gambling, and it's something I've been promoting, self-promoting, you know, for 35 years, trading versus gambling. Gambling is, I went to University of Maryland, I'm going to just bet on Maryland, or I live in Baltimore, and my name is Constantine Safir, and I'm going to just bet all my money on the Ravens because I'm a fan. You know, that's gambling. And then there's the trader, which is you could be Constantine Safir. You could go to the game, and you could bet against the Ravens because the price is wrong. Very hard for somebody to do that. Very hard for somebody to do that. Go to their team, go to their game, bet against their team because of a number, not because of their heart. You know, so we've all been there. But with that being said, with before the music starts, that's my mission forever. Get that guy from being a fanatic to being an actual moneymaker.
Yeah, and that's how this stuff works, man. It takes skill, it takes work, it takes discipline, and if you have to have all of it to be successful, because listen, the losing happens. It's inevitable. It's just when you're losing, can you not obsess about it and get through the storm?
There you go.
Sports Insider Radio.
Don't obsess about it. We'll be back next week. SportsInsiderRadio.com.